Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello and welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Monday Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Find out what they can do for you online as well at purdyinsurance.com, or you can visit them at Market Street, Sunbury as well. Steve will join us from the Sunbury Motors Studio in just a few moments. We'll talk about the weekend in sports, a little bit more on what's going on tonight with Monday Night Football, the Steelers and the Houston Texans. We'll look back on the NFL games that are already wrapped up for the week, and anything you want to talk about, too, at 800-795-9565. Of course, it's Ohio State week, so we'll get you ready for that game as well. It's a sold-out game, as a matter of fact, at Beaver Stadium this weekend. Two things I wanted to bring up today on the program. One involves the call, interference call, the offensive pass interference call on fourth down at the end of the Notre Dame-Florida State game. You know, that call to me was right on the money.
The what?
I said that call to me at the end of the Ohio State-Florida State game, the pass interference was right on the money.
Yeah. You have no sense for the dramatic.
Listen, you're shocked to hear me say that, aren't you? I could hear it in your voice. I could hear the stunned.
Actually, you know where I thought that Notre Dame had put itself in a position to lose the game? Was when they came downfield in the tie game and they took the lead on the field goal. And you want to know why? Because I felt like that was a touchdown kind of game where you needed touchdowns the way it was playing out in the second half and not field goals.
Because it was so back and forth.
Right. I just thought you needed a touchdown there, not three.
But I know there was a lot of controversy on that call, and I think it was right on. I mean, the receiver obviously engaged in a block. I mean, his hands were down, his hands were inside. It looked like a block. If his hands are up and it's you could almost, you know, maybe say incidental contact, and let's face it, in the NFL, pick plays happen every single time inside the 5-yard line on pass plays. That is just routine in the NFL. Yeah, but they do it better.
but look at every flanker screen that's run right now. There are a lot of them run in college football. They're all run that way.
Well, if you throw the ball behind the line, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm saying they're all run that way.
Right.
The kid, you know. Well, I mean, it's the right call.
It's the right call. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying there was a discussion of whether that was the right call. Oh, there's a pick on every play down there. Yeah, it's true. But when you engage someone in a block and the pass is downfield, it's a block.
No, it's the right call.
You know, it was funny, as I was watching the game, I didn't see the controversy in the call when it happened.
Well, Kirk Herbstreit didn't either. He called it the right call, so did Chris Fowler.
That's why I was surprised later on to hear all the talk about it. I'm like, I didn't think anything about it. I didn't even give it a second thought. The other thing, though, that is bothering me at almost every level, now I don't see it as much at the high school level, but I'm seeing it more in college, and I am seeing a ton of it in the NFL, is receivers asking for interference flags, making the flag motion. I am so tired of that.
I see it in the NFL. I don't see it that much in college.
That's what I said. I see it once in a while in college. I see it in the NFL more than anywhere else. And my fear is that it'll start trickling down soon.
Well, because that is the primary mode of transportation. If you can't get a... I'm not joking.
No, you're right. I'm laughing because you're right. It sounds like it shouldn't be true, but you're absolutely right. It's the primary mode of transportation for an offense right now.
I mean, that's how they do things. You know, can't get something, just throw the ball up there, we'll get an interference call, move downfield.
Yeah, okay.
The dynamics for the Steelers changed tonight after yesterday.
With the Cincinnati shutout, you mean?
And the Browns getting crushed.
Right.
And the Browns got crushed. I mean, they got crushed. I mean, they didn't play well at all.
That doesn't make me feel better, though.
Well, it doesn't matter. The game's done. Split with them, you move on.
Right.
You
know,
no, sir, I'm no, not joking
no, here. No, no, no. I know. I'm laughing because you're right.
You split with them. You won at home. You lost there. Okay.
But it's like if Jacksonville can hold Cleveland to 6, how bad's the Steeler defense?
Well, it's true, but no Alex Mack either.
And if,
I mean, that's a big part of what Cleveland does. I mean, they got killed up front. Alex Mack is a huge part of what they do. And he's out for the year. Now, in the Steeler game, they'd already built a lead at that point. They could make some adjustments and hang in and do whatever, but not for a full game.
I this game tonight, it's I find this is an intriguing matchup of a non-division game. It really is, because I don't think the Steelers have looked really good except for maybe one game or maybe even a half or a game and a half at the most. And I think the Texans are definitely that's not the same Texans team as last year by any means.
Nope.
I mean, right now they're ninth in the NFL in rushing. Passing needs a little work.
It's that zone stretch play that has really hurt the Steelers this year. Hurt them. Those Texans run that play with Arian Foster really well. That zone stretch. That is a play that the Steelers have not defended well yet. And it turns out the Texans run it really well. You look at the Browns and the Texans. Brian Hoyer and Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're a wash in the level of quarterback they happen to be. But when you look at Arian Foster and Andre Johnson, they're a little cut above what the Browns have. And that's the issue right there.
Fitzpatrick has a better beard, though.
Okay, now we're down to the small stuff.
Listen, here's what I think the Steelers need to do, and this means about the 2 cents that it's... this is my 2 cents, literally, and that's what it's worth. Run the football. This is what you do well. You're fourth in the National Football League in running the football against the 23rd-ranked rushing defense. Run the football. Now, the other thing is the Texans don't throw the ball that, or don't defend the pass that well either. But if you can run the football, all of a sudden you can throw the football a lot better.
Well, you need to control J.J. Watt.
That's an easier said task than done.
And that's going to be very difficult. He is playing like an MVP caliber player.
Let's see. I think he's
terrific.
Well, I read his stats. 20 hits on quarterbacks and has 4 of the Texans 10 sacks.
Mm-hmm. And who knows how many other plays he's disrupted that have created big plays or change in field position.
Is Clowney officially back? Because I keep hearing yes he is, no he isn't for this game.
I don't think they expect him to play tonight. He might be on the trip. I'd be surprised if he played. I'd be surprised. We're going to talk to Dave Bryan, SteelersDepot.com, coming up on the show today to break the game down. He's watched a lot of Steeler tape and a lot of Texan tape. and he'll discuss what he thinks are some of the keys to the game. And then we'll match up his keys to the game with Kevin's keys to the game. Now, Kevin's key to the game, kidnapping Todd Haley, not a good one.
No, not kidnapping him. But you remember the scene in, let's see, was it, what was the movie? Was it Bull Durham or Major League? Where they locked, where they locked the pitching coach in the cage inside the locker room. Can't remember the movie, mm-hmm. which movie it was, but that's what I think needs to happen to Todd Haley. He needs to go into a secured area and then the door accidentally locks shut. I think we'll be all right then.
Oh, brother. Really?
Listen, if he does not run the football and run the football often on his play card that was once talked about as a restaurant menu I think it was a Post-Gazette article, there's something seriously wrong.
Do you think you think too much?
I've never been accused of thinking too much. What are you talking about? I've never had that issue. No,
I'm concerned. I'm concerned.
I've been asked if I thought at all.
Outside of management meetings. Have you been?
Oh, man, you didn't treat Sarah Bartlett like this in the last hour on Friday.
Who would? Highly respected, wonderful personality, intelligent. A winner.
So you're saying I'm just the Todd Haley of this program?
There are moments. Thought the Florida State-Notre Dame game was great college football theater. Great college football theater. It was tremendous the way it played out. And, you know, you can talk about all the issues with Jimbo and with Winston and so forth, that all gets put aside once you're watching the game. And I thought it was great theater.
It was a fun game to watch.
Yeah. It's what you want. The Journey debuts this week on BTN. And I will point out to you that next week's Journey show will feature Penn State and Ohio State.
Okay.
Just so you know.
I'm going to go home and set my DVR today so I don't forget.
Oh, boy. JT Barrett is playing really, really well. I am really impressed by the way he's come on as a quarterback, the way he throws the ball, the way he's running the ball right now. It's also the first huge environment that he has played in where crowd noise is going to be a factor. He may handle it with relative ease. We'll see. Next half hour, Dave Bryan to talk about the Steelers and the Texans. As if Kevin's breakdown wasn't enough. Dave will talk about what he sees on tape. Kevin will talk about what location he hit Todd Haley.
What do you mean by breakdown? I'm a little concerned.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. We want to see you in a Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia is out to break their all-time new Kia sales record in a month by discounting their entire new Kia inventory to levels never seen before. Sunbury Motors Kia has 21 all-wheel drive Serenos with discounts up to $4,000 starting under $24,000. A midsize four-wheel drive SUV under $24,000 is unheard of. Sunbury Motors has the gas-sipping Kia Sportage starting under $23,000. Remember, we're here to break records this October with discounts never seen
seen before.
During this record-breaking month, you can buy a brand new Optima with no money down for under $370 per month. This is a luxury Kia sedan with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty for under $370 a month. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotorskia.com. Must qualify. Specialty and CAMF incentives applied.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car. Picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself. And negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word. Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bucknell football at Georgetown this week, and we're joined by the head coach of the Bison, and that would be Joe Susan. Joe, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Good to be back, Steve. I'm sorry I missed you guys last week, but I was actually on the field when I was supposed to be calling you guys.
Well, that's important, too. Yeah. How did you spend this thing in terms of the fine line between work and rest?
Well, I think the kids got more rest than we did as coaches. We actually, last week, we had them go Monday through Thursday. But what happened on Wednesday is we got torrential rain here. And it was actually a good thing, to be honest with you. So we took Wednesday's practice, made it Thursday's practice. We took Thursday's practice, made it last night's practice. And for some of the kids that are banged up, it actually wound up being a benefit. And then a couple of our coaches were on the road on Friday and Saturday, and I was actually talked into going to a football game at my alma mater. And you don't watch football, you analyze it, which that's what I'm guilty of. And the guy sitting next to me was a nuclear engineer, and I'm talking to him about he should take a timeout here or watch what's going to happen here, and he's looking at me funny. And so, but he started talking nuclear engineering, and then I was lost. So we both got each other lost.
That's great. You find out something about the makeup of your team when they face a bit of adversity. For the first time this season, you were asked them to come off a loss and respond. What did you see in that response that impressed you?
It impressed me because it was our best team effort, and we did make mistakes, as you do in any game, but we played without our starting quarterback, we played without our starting tailback, and what happened was everybody elevated their level of play, and that's what really impressed me about this team as a team, and the support all three phases gave the other phases was evident on the sideline. And we grabbed momentum after going down 7-0. We grabbed momentum. But then we also gave momentum back, and they came back to make it a 7-point game. And then we had a big play where we needed it and kept momentum through the game and went home with the ball, which is always a good thing.
I know that you're trying to focus in on one week at a time, but your team right now is ranked 9th in the FCS Lambert Meadowlands poll. Just in terms of recognition and the name being out there, and I know you have to take care of your own business, but still to get that, what does that mean to you at this stage of the program, big picture?
It means it's an October 20th poll. And the polls that count are the ones that they do in December. And, you know, for the people that support this program, I think it's a big thing. For us, that we know and our kids know that the polls, the all-league things, the ones at the end of the year are what counts. And what's been good is that after the Lehigh game, they came in with a workmanlike mentality, and they have approached this prep as well as they have anything. And we went out last night and practiced after we gave them 2 days off, and they came out flying around. And it was good to see. It was good to see them compete against one another. We did more than we normally do, good versus good, which really helps us to play against speed on both sides. And we're a little bit healthier, which is a good thing. And I think they're focused, and I think they understand how important each game is as the season builds. And momentum has a lot to do with that. Winning has something to do with it. And, you know, they have bought into what it takes to play one game at a time. They prep that way, which is really a reward as a coach and a coaching staff, and that's what we want them to get to, where they don't look back. They learn from looking back, but they don't look too far forward. And another game on the road, but we understand the field's the same regardless of where we go. And excited about the next opportunity, and it's going to be here fast. You know, it's Monday afternoon, but it's going to be Friday and Saturday very soon.
Something that's important in sports is that as you go through, you can't go through with the same lineup as much as you would love to. So there are moments where next man up has to happen. When Trey LaLetta had his opportunity, how impressed were you by his preparation that allowed him to excel?
Trey prepares and has prepared since he's been here as if he's the starter. And that's what gave him the edge going in being the starter. And it is a statement to his dedication. But it's also an example that we use to tell the other players on this team, this is how he prepares, and this is the result of his preparation. And he's doing it the same way this week as well. And he'll do it the same way next week. It just, number one, he's a smart kid, very intelligent, going to be a lot more successful than the guys on this phone call. Speaking of Kevin, too.
I was going to say, I'm out of that one. You two are going to sit there on that one. I'm staying out.
But he is a student of the game, and he understands football. What's unique about him is that during timeouts, where a younger guy might agree with everything that you say, Trey's going to give you his opinion, and in most cases, his opinion is very beneficial to understand. Okay, we're doing this. We've got to be ready for this. Like, we had a situation where we had it fourth or third and one at the one with no timeouts left, and we didn't get it in, but he calmly got everybody together, and we spiked the ball at 4 seconds. We kicked the field goal before the half, and those are things both he and I talked about prior to that, because we had a timeout prior to that third and one play. And, you know, it's stability mentally. And he did a great job of not trying to do too much with the football. And he's one of the few quarterbacks on our team that knows how to slide. Not a pretty thing when we try to train them how to slide. And some of it, too, is turf, field turf. It's easier to slide on grass than it is on field turf. He did some good things on his feet, too. He got us a key first down, and he knew when to go down. That's another thing that, you know, some of the young men come in here with the high school mentality, they're going to run somebody over. And usually as a college quarterback compares to linebackers and safeties in college, you're going to get run over.
Right. In fact, it's interesting you bring that up, because, as you know, I do the State College Spikes games, and they're the St. Louis Cardinals affiliate. And they had come in, and they had time to go to a Penn State football game, and they saw Christian Hackenberg slide. And some of the Cardinal brass came up to me the next day and they said, can you teach our kids to do what that kid does?
Right.
There's an art as to how to do it, and you have to do it right. And it's more than self-preservation. It's how you do it, the timing of it, and the method.
That was one of the things that we were taught in Little League growing up. Yeah. And I don't know if you got my email today. I'm not sure you're on my email, but I was a child of the Sandlot. But when we did get to organized baseball, they took us in a sandpit, taught us how to slide, how to slide around tags. You know, God forbid they taught us a head first slide back then. But you know, it's something that unfortunately becomes an instinct. And you know, playing slow pitch softball with shorts on when you slide, it's not a good thing because you remember that for the next week with the strawberry that's on your leg, regardless of what you're wearing. Some of it is that some of these young men become quarterbacks, stay quarterbacks, and give up things like Little League baseball or playing basketball because they want to be a quarterback. And, those crossover skills in many ways aren't there with a lot of the young men that we recruit nowadays because it's become so much more sports-specific. And I think it leads at times to burnout. It leads at times to overuse injuries. Just that competition, you know. In my email, I said we would go from football to basketball to ice hockey. Would play ice hockey outside until it melted, then would go inside to play floor hockey, full contact floor hockey.
Right.
And you go back to baseball, and you could play baseball with two guys.
Right.
Sometimes it was playing with myself, throwing it up in the backyard.
I had the same childhood you did, the exact same thing. So I can relate to that completely. One final question, your thoughts on what Georgetown brings to the table that any coach always has to be aware of?
Now, Georgetown is a team that will be well prepared for us. They're coming off a bye week as well. They are a very good front four defensively, and they actually lead the Patriot League in scoring defense. So those are things that our young men are aware of. The strength of their team is their defense. We see opportunities within the special teams game, and one of our goals in what we're doing offensively is when we get in the red zone, we got to count by sevens. And the other thing that we focus on defense, if we keep things in front of us by eliminating big plays, we'll put them into third down situations where we feel in third down situations we'll have the advantage. You know, that all sounds like coach speak, but ultimately it adds up to putting yourself in a position where if you can control down in distance, and when you get the field position opportunities where you put it in for sevens, the math goes to your favor.
Right.
We will be healthier than we were against Lehigh. We have to find out in practice whether RJ Nitty and CJ Williams are ready, and those are things that are still question marks. But what's good is Trey Lauletta and Matt Del Muro and Kareem Hyman have game experience behind their belt as starters.
That's huge. As always, Joe, thanks so much. Good luck this week at Georgetown, and finally get an opportunity after that next week when we can talk about some home games. But good luck this week.
Thanks, Steve. Kevin was complaining about the Lehigh Stadium not having an elevator. I thought he'd look good on like a hang glider. He could just hang glide down or put him on a drone. It would have to be a fairly big drone to get Kevin down.
No. Listen, on the third trip down there, the hang glider would have been something. Yes. I would even have considered a zip line.
I would have paid to see that landing, though.
I know I would have. Right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Joe,
have a good day.
Thank you, Joe. Dave Bryan coming up to talk about the Steelers and Texans next half hour. Back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I know you're disappointed.
I'm disappointed?
I didn't put up any lights.
Yeah, well, it is a little sad that you did not put up the lights. I mean, it was Steve Jones rigging up the lights weekend.
Didn't do it. Didn't even come close. Didn't even come close. That's the way it goes. Yeah, I figured that maybe the day after Indiana, November 8th. That's really the last time I can really do it where I've got some time to do it.
Bob Beener's going to be heartbroken.
I've got basketball left and right after that.
Yes, you do.
So, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. You are driving this week, what?
A 2015 Ford Fusion that's in the new bronze color for 2015. Nice. It is.
That is nice.
Yeah, it's a Fusion SE, and it is gorgeous. Has a lot of great features that are standard in it, as well as options, including the complete display and integrated Ford Sync system, which is, I love the Sync system. That's really, it's really handy when you're using your phone hands-free. Or you want to change, or you want to change something with the temperature settings.
No, I have that in my vehicle, the Sync system, and it's you cannot put a price on the value of having that, the hands-free system, especially in the, there's so many states that ban you from using your cell phone unless you have a hands-free system.
Not to mention the fact that there's three accessory ports. They used to call them cigarette lighters. Now they're accessory ports. So you can plug in multiple phones or devices that need charging, including in the back seat, which if you have a 14 going on 15-year-old son or daughter, is a very important thing to have on a trip.
No question.
Dad, did you bring your charger cord? My phone's dying. Didn't you just charge it about 3 hours ago? Yeah, but I was playing games. Guess what? Game over.
Wow. Brutal in your household. Whew, rough being a kid there.
It's tough love, Steve. It's tough love.
For which one of you? All right.
That was good.
Okay. Let's get to the next thing. That'll be the Steelers coming up tonight. They will be in action taking on the Houston Texans. Dave Bryan will be joining us in the next half hour to talk about the Steeler-Texan game. Whether or not it matches up with Kevin, we don't know. There's going to be a pep rally, by the way, for Penn State football. They're going to call it Rally in the Valley on Friday night. It'll be in Rec Hall following the Penn State women's volleyball game. So you will be able to be a part of that. They're hoping for a huge crowd on Friday night for that.
Something we just posted at SteveJonesShow.com is standing room only for Penn State wrestling this season.
Good. Well, that's fine. That's typical of how things have gone. They've had, obviously, some great moments, great games. There were great matches, I should say, dual meets. They're the four-time defending national champions. It's going to be a little dicier this year to do it, but it doesn't mean they can't. So I think that's terrific. I think when you look at ice hockey and wrestling and women's volleyball, they're all draw very well. Hockey and wrestling both sell out. I think that's great.
Do you know, I heard a rumor that Rutherford was going to take a red shirt?
I have no idea.
Okay. Didn't know if you might have heard something.
Nope.
I heard that in passing this weekend, but I didn't know if there was any truth to said rumor.
Don't know. And the Notre Dame-Florida State game ended up matching the hype. It was a fabulous game, especially the second half. Jimbo Fisher, obviously his crew came back, won. his post-game interview a bit different in tone than the Peyton Manning post-game interview. Wow.
I missed that one. What happened there?
What, Jimbo?
No, I was thinking way around. Peyton. I'm like, what did Peyton Manning do?
Peyton Manning stood there in the post game as soon as the game was over and was talking repeatedly about, he named every head coach he's played for in the NFL. He named all the quarterback coaches he's played for. He named every offensive coordinator. Plus, he recognized certain players and so forth. And you just sat back and said, well, isn't that the epitome of class? I know you don't think he's the greatest quarterback of all time, but the record he set to me, well, you've indicated it as much. But I think the record he set is the NFL's version of the home run record. I think the home run record in the NFL used to be the rushing record, Jim Brown, when he had it. But because the dynamics of the league have changed so much since they changed the rules in 1978, I think the touchdown pass record is really now the home run record of the NFL. 510 in his career. And better than 3.9 yards of completion.